Take your Bible and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5 as we settle in and still our hearts on the Word. 1 Peter chapter number 5. So much taking place in our world and so much happening. I'm thankful for what the missions department reported. I've already heard from Pastor Dwight this morning, and Brother Gabe, Brother Bradley, Brother Mark, and Pastor Dwight himself all preached in different places. And we're so thankful to report that God saved somebody in every one of those services. And we're thankful for that. We give God all the glory for that. Let's continue to pray for them. If there has ever been a time when Christians are walking around smiling on the outside, but in reality broken on the inside, it's now. It's in this season. All across the country today, in churches all across the country today, there are people who will be praising God in the pews and doing their best to maintain dignity in the service. And they'll praise in the pews, but then they'll go outside and they'll panic in the parking lot. They'll have a panic attack or an anxiety attack. And that can be caused by many things, no doubt. There are people, there are leaders in churches all across the country who are leading small groups, who are teaching Sunday school, even folks who are singing in the choir, but secretly on the inside, they are losing hope. We have believers who know how to get dressed up for Sunday and know how to look alive and know how to play the part of a lively Christian. But when Monday comes and they get up out of the bed, they're dying on the inside, or at least they feel like they're dying on the inside. And right out of the gate, I want to make this very clear today, and I want to tell somebody about Jesus and how he can set you free and, yes, give you the victory. And by saying this very simple statement, I want to make the statement, but I don't want you to take my word for the statement. I want you to go with me into the Word of God, and let's allow God the Holy Ghost to show us that the statement is true and that it applies to even you and to me. And that's this very simple statement. That you as the believer, everyone who is a believer in the faith today, say amen. Amen. You as a believer do not have to carry that which Christ has already offered to carry for you. You as a believer do not have to carry the weight of that thing, whatever it may be. Whatever the circumstance, whatever the trial, whatever the tribulation, you do not have to carry the weight of that situation and that trial, that heartache and that heartbreak that Christ has already freely volunteered to carry for you. In 1 Peter, God's man is writing to believers who were tired. He's writing to believers who are weary even in well-doing. These are scattered saints, people who love God, who love his word, who love the church, but who are under persecution. And they're watching their world around them unravel. And what he gives them, if you'll pay close attention this morning, it's why preaching is so serious, because if we'll pay attention, God can change our lives and our perspective forever just with the foolishness of preaching, as the Bible says. God is not giving them a survival plan on how to survive the incidents of life. Rather, he is giving them a plan for surrender. Not a plan to survive, but a plan rather to surrender. This isn't a call for the believers in this room to try harder on your own. It's a call to trust God more deeply than ever before. A plan to surrender, not to survive. And all around this room, I know some of the circumstance and I know some of the situation, and we've had conversation or someone has come to me and they have said, hey, we need to pray specifically for this brother, this sister. They are struggling. They're going through a trial. There is something that they never expected to happen, and it's happened. And we need to pray for them, and we need to ask God to move, and we need to ask God to do something specific. And the truth is, a lot of effort is being made within our own selves. My capability, my understanding, my manipulation, the phone calls that I can make, the text messages that I can send, the conversations that I can have. If we're not careful, we get ourselves in more trouble more quickly than if we would just let go. And instead of figuring out how to survive it, we would just surrender. Woven into all of these powerful verses are powerful truths that will anchor your heart. And it'll anchor your heart even when you as a person, you as a believer, you feel untethered and you feel scattered. Anybody in the house willing to admit openly before God with me that there are days in the Christian walk and in the Christian life that I feel untethered and I feel scattered? If you've never felt untethered and if you've never felt scattered, wait for it, dear friend. It will come. I think all of us, if we were honest, we have been through these days. And here's the good news. This truth is irrefutable truth. It's rock hard, solid, immovable, powerful, life-changing truth. The question is, will we read it? Will we ingest it? And will we ask God the Holy Ghost to really change us for who we are? Or will we look again for our survival plan on how we're going to make it through the next week? I think today, with the help of the Lord, if we would look closely, we will see and we will understand this very simple thought that no one cares for me now, or will be able to care for me in the future like Jesus does. Let's pray. Holy Father, precious Jesus, sweet Holy Ghost, Lord, we bow our heads before you this morning as humbly as we know how, before you and before all these people. And God, we ask you now as your people, as hungry little children coming to your table. Lord, we ask you now for bread. Lord, for hot bread, for nourishment and nurture from the table of the Father. We ask you to move in this service, and God, to touch every heart and every life that's here. God, I pray if there be one person under the sound of my voice, either here in this room or God watching online, I pray that the sweet Holy Ghost, Lord, would do the work that only he can do and that, Lord, only he can bring to realization. Lord, open eyes, open hearts, still us. Lord, I pray that you'd hide me behind the cross, or that no man would see me or ability or God hear words from my mouth, but that God, you'd use me as an empty vessel, Lord, to communicate what heaven would have communicated in this room. Lord, I admit openly, I am unable to do today what needs to be done. I possess nothing these dear people need, but Lord, you do possess it. And God, through the preaching of your word, you've promised, you've guaranteed that your word would never return void. And so God, now we hang our hats on that truth. God, with all sincerity of heart, we believe you that you will move in this service. Bless us now. Open our eyes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. If I had to label this particular chapter, it would be this. It would be struggling shepherds and suffering saints. Struggling shepherds and suffering saints of God. And really how appropriate that is for the day in which we're living. Go with me now. 1 Peter 5. Go back to verse 1. We'll read a few of these verses. He writes, "The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and witness of sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock." My goodness. "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, if you're under the age of 30, say amen." Say it loudly. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Peter's message here is not a random message. It flows with pastoral precision, a man of God who knew his people and who knew what they were going through. In verses 1 through 4, he's addressing the spiritual leaders, the elders, the teachers, the preachers, those who are charged to feed the flock of God, to shepherd them with humility and integrity and by example, and not for power nor for personal gain. Then in verse 5, Peter turns to the whole congregation. Would the whole congregation say amen? Amen. Would the whole congregation say amen? Amen? Some of you just woke up from your nap. Welcome back with us. God is calling them to submit themselves. The whole congregation, all of the believers in the church, to be subject one to another, to love one another, and to be kind to one another, and to be Christ-like one to another. Isn't that a refreshing idea? And then in verse 6, he makes this powerful statement that they're to humble themselves. This is the expectation of all believers under the mighty hand of God. Now, this is critical. Before Peter even tells them to cast their care on Jesus, he first tells them to humble themselves. You hear me this morning in love. You cannot cast your care on Christ unless you are first willing to come under the hand of Christ. There is no such thing as an emergency 911 shoebox God. There is not a God that participates in some sort of Southern Appalachian colloquialism or maybe even heritage that we use often, that I am good with God. I have a relationship with God that's maybe different than everybody else's. There's some gray area. I get to live a particular way. God knows me. He gets me. Listen to me now. This is only for people who realize that there is a need, a desperate need for every believer to be humble before God before we use God as some sort of spiritual trinket. This is exclusionary. There are steps to this process. And really, it's quite humbling for all of us that we don't look at God as some sort of lucky charm on our tree. Or that God isn't just something I use when I need. And it's not something I do just on Sunday and Wednesday, my church me, and then I have the me that gets to live the rest of the week because, oh, I'm not at church. That's actually not Christianity according to the Word of God. That's something that man has made that sprinkles in bits and pieces of the Bible and bits and pieces of the character of God. And it's quite dangerous and it's prevalent in our land. So we're talking about people who realize the desperate need of humility in their own life. Believers is who he's writing to. But these are believers that are living under pressure maybe that some of us have never known before. These are believers that were social outcasts for their faith. These were believers that faced great economic persecution and legal harassment just for being a follower of Jesus. You can imagine because of the tension that is in community, there is family tension, no doubt, between families who believe and family members that don't. Those who believe that the old way is the only way and that we must keep covenant and wait on Messiah. And then there's a cousin, a friend, an aunt, an uncle who's come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. And there's tension in the family. You're breaking tradition. You're breaking heritage. These people were living in a day that even was under the aggression and the rule, the shadow of Nero, the great tyrant who was bloodthirsty for Christians. In other words, these believers were not just stressed out. They were suffering. Peter isn't writing to comfort people who've had a hard day at the office, that the boss got in my face again about my late reports. That's not what these people are going through. No doubt they are going through the normal weight of life. But these believers, are you with me this morning, are being crushed underneath the weight of circumstance. It's hard for them to live. It's hard for them to buy. It's hard for them to be in public. And it's hard for them to be with their family who does not understand why they are following this Jesus Christ, Yeshu Christi of Nazareth. What are you doing? Many of them would say. And so the pressure that they are under is not just stress. And hear me, and this is the good news to report. Peter can write this firsthand because he knows what it means to fall apart in the face of fear. Thank God for Peter in the Word of God. Thank God that the Lord saw fit to put the story of Peter in the Bible, that we could see his life for what it is, the struggle of Peter's life and the intricate details of Peter's failure, so that you and me could see that there still is hope for people like us. Peter can write this because he knows what it means to fall apart. He knows what it means to be restored by the grace and the mercy of God. What we can learn and what we can deduce and how we can even change as believers looking at this season of the church's existence, Peter might have just put it this way, that no one ever cared for me like Jesus. I want you to see three truths around that reality. Number one, I want you to see this, the sovereign hand that governs me. What does it mean then to live a life of pressure and stress and weightiness and for Jesus to be the one who cares for me? Notice what he says in verse number 6. It's where we all have to start. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Peter's not asking these people to bow to Rome. He's telling them to bow beneath the hand that parted the Red Sea. He's telling them to bow beneath the hand that thundered on Mount Sinai. He's telling them to bow to the God, this mighty, mighty, mighty God, who formed man from the dust and wrote the law in the stone. Human perspective is dangerous, but perspective is everything. Human perspective always leads to human intervention and human understanding. Think of that now. Human perspective always leads to human understanding and human intervention. But a biblical perspective will always lead back to God and his mighty, far-reaching hand of capability. And some people today, the struggle of your life is this, that you have yet to surrender to the hand. This is not just any hand. This is, as the Bible says, the mighty hand of God. And here's the thing, that mighty hand working may not always make sense to us. You may not understand the ways of God and what he's doing in your life. But here is something that can be said. God can be trusted. God can be trusted. This isn't just any hand. It's not a Republican hand, a Democrat hand, a United States hand, an Iran hand, or an Australia hand. It is the mighty hand of God. Some of you have been asking in your own lives, why is this happening in my life? Why is my husband in the state spiritually that he's in? Why is my wife struggling the way that she is struggling? Why is the pressure and what my children are even going through, my teenagers are going through, why is it so heavy? Some of you have been asking internally, maybe not out loud, but you're asking God, why the delay? Why is it taking so long? I have been praying for years. God, why the suffering? Why do I have to have cancer? God, why do I have to go to dialysis? God, why do I have to be on that medication the rest of my life? And the truth is, some folks are struggling with humility under the hand more than the circumstance itself. Another way of saying this is that we all must stop wrestling with the hand and start resting underneath the hand. Stop trying to manipulate God to be anything other than God. God cannot change the rules for you. God will never go back on His word and His principle because He is God. And sometimes the pressure we feel, I know this is not a shout 'em down, swing from the chandeliers message, but hear me in love, this will change our lives. Sometimes the pressure we're under is that we're not being humble before God. We're trying to figure out our own way. We're trying to govern our own life. We're trying to figure out for ourselves how to live, what to do, where to work, where to go to school, where to go to church. And we're doing it without God even being part of the conversation. That's not resting under the hand of God. That's wrestling the hand of God. And it's not wrestling necessarily for supremacy on the throne, but it is wrestling for control of your life. You say, I don't want to be God. I don't want to be in control. Then why do you act like it? Why do we ignore the word of God, we refuse prayer, and then we wonder why our lives feel so topsy-turvy? There's a good southern word. Why does it feel like you are on a teeter-totter of life, up and down, a yo-yo, back and forth? Or maybe some of you are underneath the teeter-totter, and every time the big heavy kid comes down, it crushes your head. That's not a fun place to be. I've been there. And you just feel like, Lord, I'm getting my brains beat out. What's the deal? Why the pressure? Why can't I find the job? Why can't I have the raise? Why can't my kids act like their kids? Hear me. Maybe a lot of it just has to do with how we assess God's hand in our lives. You see, it's not for us to be in any way, shape, form, or fashion harassed. If God is your father, then He treats you as a son and as a daughter. And He is a good, good father. And a good father does not torment his children just to torment his children. He loves his children. According to the word, if we would read it, there is plan and purpose for our life. And so instead of trying to arm wrestle God and you figure out what needs to be done, instead of wrestling the hand, rest under the hand. And say, God, I don't know how to. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. But God, I know You do. That's resting in the hand, under the hand of this mighty God in humility. Again, perspective is everything. And a lot of you, I know your story, and I know some of what you're going through, and you may feel pressed, but it doesn't mean that you're abandoned. Many of you may feel delayed in what you're praying for. Many of you are praying for children in your life. But just because it's not right now does not mean that you're denied. Hear me this morning. Our God does not waste our pain. According to the word of God, He does not even waste a single tear from a single struggle. He takes all of the pain and all of the tears and He weaves it as a beautiful tapestry of His plan for our lives, and all of it is for His glory. And there are some things that have happened in the lives of the church family that's sitting here today. I see some of your faces and I know what you've been through, and I know to the houses you've had to go to and what was inside those homes. I know about the trips to the hospital and to the nursing home, and to the funeral home, and to the cancer centers. Hear me in love this morning. I understand it's hard, and no, we do not understand. But there is a God in heaven whose hand, if you will allow Him, His hand will govern every aspect of your life, right down to the physical, right down to the emotional, and for sure the spiritual portions of your life on a cellular level. Fearfully and wonderfully made in the sight of a holy God. Quit wrestling the hand and rest underneath it. The mighty hand of God, I put in my notes right here, is a good hand. Let me get a sip of water so I can preach this. The hand of God is a good hand. Say that with me so we can give the devil a little heartburn. The hand of God is a good hand. Say it one more time. The hand of God is a good hand. Why is it a good hand, Pastor? Well, we can say this with all fear and with all trembling. Thank God, praise God for the mighty hand of God. Isaiah 48:13 says this, "Mine hand, speaking of God, hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together." No matter how long and hard I try, if I was to go to the very tippity top of Mount Everest and yell out for the heavens and for creation to bow in my presence and to come forth, there is nothing inside of me, nothing inside of you, nothing inside Bill Nye the Science Guy that could ever command creation to rest in the palm of his hand. Remember the old song we learned in Sunday school? He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole wide world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. According to the Word of God, that's a theologically rich and correct song. He's got the whole world in his hand. That's the life that God's given you. What you're living in, if you're in his perfect will, God's giving you a life that he can govern. Here's the good news. Nothing you're going through is outside of the capability of the far-reaching right hand of God. Isaiah 41:13 says, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee." It's not just a lofty God and a lofty deity sitting on a lofty throne. The hand of God is personal. It's the hand that holds us, that refuses to let go of us. And you say, "Pastor, I feel like I'm losing my grip." Then, dear brother, dear sister, in love, you're not reading the verse. There's nothing in the verse about your grip, your hand. It says, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee." It's not your grip, it's his grip that will never let go. And you say, "Well, I'm crushed, I'm depressed, I'm anxious, I'm sad, I feel dejected, I feel totally cut off from the goodness of God." If you'll just squeeze just a little bit, if you'll just squeeze just a little bit in the depths of your heart, as a saved person, listen to me now, all the saved people, this is for us. If you'll just bow your head humbly before God, and say, "Lord, not for any other reason than to give you glory. I want to feel your presence. Even in the midnight hour when your wife's not there or your husband's not there and you're all alone and you feel like your world is totally, completely destroyed. If you'll just reach out, if you'll just squeeze your hand a little bit, you'll find out. Spiritual hindsight's always 20/20. And when you thought you had an empty hand, if you'll just look clearly enough, there's a hand that will never let go. And it is the capable right hand of our God. That is the hand of God that will govern my life, lead my life, sustain my life, give me everything I need in my life, even when I can't feel him. He's there. This is the hand of God that governs me, the sovereign hand of God. John chapter number 10, verse number 27. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them," praise God, "eternal life, and they shall never perish." They shall never perish. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Woo! My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And you say, "What does that have to do with me?" Jesus said that if you love him and if you belong to him and you're in the faith on your way to heaven, then no matter what a man says, no matter what a political party or a system says, no matter what the culture says, no matter what the devil says, no matter what the demons in hell says, no matter what your flesh says, no matter what anxiety says, no matter what depression says, God says, said, there is nothing that can take you out of the hand of God. You ought to shout yourself silly for the fact that God will keep you right where He puts you. Amen. Glory to His name. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. You want to know where you are? I hear people say all the time, Pastor, I'm trying to figure out where I am in life. If you belong to Jesus, and if Jesus belongs to you, hear me in love, you're right where you ought to be. You're cradled and nested right there in the cup of His hand. He can see galaxies and universes and everything He's created just in one pier. He can see every life and organism, everything that's ever been created, everything that's ever lived. He knows every soul, whether it's in heaven, where it's in hell, or whether it's here on earth. God hasn't lost one ounce of capability. I know the world around us is falling apart, but you hear me, and you hear me clearly this morning. I don't care what the diagnosis is. I don't care the sadness of your heart. It doesn't matter what you're going through in this life. If this word is real and if this word is true, then you haven't been lost and you haven't been abandoned. God's got you right in the palm of His hand. I'd like some Baptist Christian folk to say amen like they believe it. Try again. I said, you're in the hand of God and nothing can separate you from His hand. I don't know about me now. I don't know if I qualify for that. I'm lower than everybody. Listen, Eeyore, I love you. I love you. I love my Eeyores. But you're going to have to start acting like T.I. double girl. You're going to have to start acting like Tigger. Get a little bounce in your step and get a little excitement in your voice and stop acting like God's dead and that He's left you abandoned. No one has ever cared for me like Jesus, because no one's ever been able to care for me like Jesus. And if you feel all alone, and if you feel dejected, and if you feel depressed, just look in His hand, and right there in the middle, you'll find you. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. You're in His hand. It's the hand of God, the sovereign hand of God, that will govern your life. It is your North Star. It is your leading compass. It is the GPS of every turn of your life. And even on the bad days when it doesn't make sense, you may not be able to tell what God's up to, but you can trust that He loves you, that He cares for you, and that He will lead you to green pastures and lay down beside still waters. He is still the good shepherd. The Bible is still true from cover to cover. He's not forgot about you. He's not abandoned you. The faith is real. Heaven is real. Hell is real. The Holy Ghost is a real person. Jesus Christ is alive, seated on the right hand of the Father, and God the Father, according to the Word of God, He and Jesus are one, and right there in the middle of God's hand, you'll find this little tiny speck, and it's Winston. There's Malawi, there's Botswana, there's the Czech Republic, there's all of Europe and all of Asia. There's Trinity at 216 Shelburne Road. Inside there are hundreds of people. There are thousands all over the world watching online. I know where every single one of them are. I know their name. I made them. I know how many hairs they have on their head. I know the days that are numbered. I know when they'll die. I know how they live. I know how they respond to the gospel. You hear me? Hear me clearly. The sovereign hand of God will never let you go. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adores Him and worships Him. What a mighty God we serve. The sovereign hand of God that governs me. I got to move on, but I don't want to. I can remember being so afraid, being terrified to leave this country and to live in another country. And Brother Philip, I got on that flight. It was a U.S. Airways flight from Charlotte, Mecklenburg, to San Jose, Costa Rica. My mom sat with the girls, and me and Dad were off to ourselves. Had two seats there. It was just us. The girls were really too young to even know what was going on. They thought maybe we were going to Disney World. Surprise. This ain't Disney World. Welcome to Central America. You don't speak the language. There's no baseball. There's no Braves on TBS. There's no grandmama and granddaddy. There's barely, at that point in time, any internet. And you're 10 years old and you think, my life is ending. I just got my first girlfriend at the East Asheville pool. And she goes to the same school I do right up the hill at Asheville Christian Academy. I'm on the all-star team for baseball for the first time. And we gotta move. We gotta leave. And at 10 years old, you put your 10-year-old in that situation, you can imagine some of the reaction that your 10-year-old would give you. And I try my best, and no doubt Ralph and Musette Sexton are the greatest pep talkers. And at that point in time, I would have to say some yarns were spun. We'll see in just a few days. I'm still waiting on them to get there. But I can remember being on that plane and feeling so alone. Right there with my parents and my sisters, but I felt so alone. I'd never really felt that before in my life. And I can remember sitting there on that airplane getting ready to take off, big old tears coming down my cheek. I thought life will never be the same. And my dad, my daddy, my father, I didn't wait to say anything to him. He already knew. He could see it on my face. And as that plane took off, he grabbed my hand. Hear me. He grabbed my hand. He squeezed it real tight like he always has. He said, Winston, I'm here, and it's going to be okay. And in that one moment, it sounds so simple, so easy. It sounds like maybe nothing to you, but to a 10-year-old who feels like his whole world is falling apart, it was everything. Just to hear the voice of my father. Just to feel the touch of his hand in mine. And some of you are saved and on your way to heaven, but you've allowed hurt and you've allowed circumstance and you've even allowed bitterness to keep you from feeling his hand and hearing his voice in your ear. And all God's trying to remind you today is that everything you're trying to replace God with in your life, nothing's going to work. Nothing's going to substitute God and his word and a relationship with Jesus. Why? Because no one ever cared for me like Jesus. Secondly, I want you to see the sacred hope that grounds me. There's a sovereign hand of God that governs my life. But I'm rowdy and rambunctious and I have flesh. And I struggle. Why? Because I'm a human being. I want you to see the sacred hope that grounds me. Verse 7, he said, casting all your care upon him. Casting all your care upon him. Now don't miss this. The word casting down doesn't mean to gently set something down. It actually means to physically hurl something. And if I had two working legs today, I was going to fill a big backpack full of bricks and I was going to hurl it. I wasn't going to hit nobody, I promise. But I wanted you to see that backpack and every brick was going to represent something. But I think in our minds we can get that now. And what would your backpack be full of? What would be all the things that if you could fix in your life, all the circumstances and all the situations? I'm talking about the things that have been broken for decades. The relationship with your parents. The relationship with that friend that was a lifelong friend until they weren't. The lie that was told, the hurt that was had. Whatever the circumstance is, maybe it's a broken heart from someone you had to say goodbye to. Whatever it is, I want you to fill your big backpack full of all of your cares, all of your worries, all of your doubts, all of your fears, all of your anxieties, all of the times you feel like you aren't enough. And put it in that backpack. Mine is stacked full. It's a big backpack and it's full. It's heavy. And the verse he's saying here, it's not gently laying it down. He's saying, hurl it. cast it, throw it. Gives into this idea that there's urgency in you doing so. Some of you have been carrying that backpack and everything inside of it for decades, for years. A hurt heart, a missed opportunity, a shattered dream, a job that you thought you were going to have, you still don't have it. The children that are not there, the grandchildren that are in the world, whatever you want to put in your backpack, it's your backpack. Here's the good news. No matter who you are, no matter where you're from, no matter the color of your skin, how much money you have, the pedigree, the education, no matter what side of town you live on, Jesus said, fill your backpack full of everything you've got and then throw it at me, casting your cares upon him. It's like a traveler shedding a heavy backpack that nearly broke his back. I'm sure some of you have been down that road before. You've carried something heavy, maybe even in an airport. The wheels on the check bag broke. And now you got to carry that check bag through the Philadelphia airport, 17 and a half miles it feels like. And it's heavy. And there's nothing like getting there to the van that's picking you up. And you put the backpack and you put the big heavy suitcase in that van. And what do? You go sit down, you go rest, then you don't worry about it. Why? Because you put it where it was supposed to go, and then you let it go. You didn't hold that big case as you rode to the hotel, did you? No. You put it in the back, they shut the door, and then you didn't worry about it again. It was being transported for you. And some of you are walking around the airport of life, if you'll allow me, carrying a broken bag that has no wheels, that's super heavy. And there's somebody offering to take it from you permanently. You never have to carry it again. You don't ever, the next journey, no. Tomorrow, no. Just set it right here. As a matter of fact, as quickly as you possibly can. Throw it at me. I got you. No. It's mine. It's mine to carry. This is my pain. This is my hurt. This is my circumstance. This is my disappointment. It's my anxiety. It's my fear. It's my depression. Listen in love. If we're not careful, it becomes a point of pride. My problem's so bad, nobody can help me. My hurt's too big. Even Jesus can't take my hurt. Nobody's ever had to go through what I have had to go through. Which leads me to my third point. You don't cradle this, you cast it. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Lastly, the suffering Savior who goes with me. There is the sovereign hand of God that governs me, this sacred hope that grounds me, that he will give me rest. But then there's the suffering Savior, a Jesus who knows all about our trouble, who goes with me. Notice the second half of that verse. He says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So let's read that verse together. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Let's read it again. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You want to know why you can trust him? You want to know why you ought to cast your care upon him? Why you can surrender under his hand? Because he cares for you. Boy, if we really knew what that verse meant. He cares for you. Some of you didn't have a daddy that you felt like loved you. You didn't have a mama that you thought attended to your need. Some of you had drug addicts for parents. It wasn't until you found Jesus and Jesus found you that you ever felt cared for. And no matter what life has done to you, how it has chewed you up and spit you out, Jesus cares for you. What does it mean to care for someone? It's not just about controlling them. It's about what's best for them. It's about their success. And the purpose and the plan that God has for their life. It's not just someone that cares for you, it's someone who knows how you feel. This isn't a God that's cold and distant and unpersonal. Jesus cares for you because he's been there. You say, what do you mean he's been there? If you think about it, Jesus knows what it's like to be misunderstood by family. He knows what it's like to be weary and tired. He knows the pain of betrayal, the sting of abandonment, the ache of rejection. He knows the heaviness of sorrow, so deep, so crushing to the soul, that according to the Bible, his sweat turned to drops of blood. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." He was touched with it. He was moved by it. Not just the fact of your pain, but the feeling of your pain. Some people sitting in this room, you say, nobody gets it. Nobody gets what I'm going through. I'm all alone in this. Jesus, his response to all of it is, I do know how you feel. I have walked it before. And I did it and was victorious so that you could be victorious. I wonder if anybody in this church, my precious church family, here's your pastor's heart today. There's some things that a therapist cannot do for you. A counselor cannot do for you. New leaves, new jobs, new money cannot do for you. But there is a God in heaven that if you will lay it at his feet today, cast it upon him today, he can tend to your need, touch your heart, heal your emotion, your spiritual man, even your physical man.